Ironically, there's a strange and interesting interplay between people here tonight. And I think I would be amiss if I didn't explain it. I met Theodore in December of 1995, he tells me. And I was impressed with him when he came to our church and began to have some interchange and some discussion with him about various things. And I ended up in Moscow with him at the Baptist Union's Congress in, we believe, in 1998. After that, I called a friend of mine whose name is Gene Warr. And I said, "Gene, you're always interested in investing in people, and you put a tremendous investment in my life. I have a guy I'd like to bring to Key Men's Conference." He said, "Buy him the ticket, I'll pay for it." That's how Theater got to Wichita Falls. And my only explanation to Gene was, "Gene, I think in some way or another, his ministry and him attending Key Men's Conference in Wichita Falls will have an impact on the Christianity in that area, in our area." Little did I know, the full circle. Because through that, and through the circle of this, Theodore is here tonight. He just completed last week the last hurdle in getting his doctor's degree from Midwestern Seminary in Memphis. He's been in our country 9 years, and this is the final part of it. And I have to pull out, when I was speaking with another group of people, they always said give people a business card introduction and sit down. So I'm going to do that. Theodore is with the Union Evangelical Christians Baptist of Russia. Now we call that the Baptist Union in Russia. And Theodore is too modest to admit it, but is probably among the most important people in that denomination. And his elevated title is Special Representative for International Affairs. And what he's doing is he is working to try to coordinate and ministry between the American Christians and the Russian Christians. And the way that that is best done is for us to share with them some of the resources that we have. It's best done if we come alongside them and help them with their ministry. Not that we do their ministry, but that we come alongside them and help them with their ministry. And it is in that light that he's here. He's here to encourage you to come alongside them and help them with their ministry. Peter, I'm going to let you tell the rest of your own story. You do it better than I do.
These things are hard to put on in public, you know. Do it in your room, looks great.
Well, good evening. It is really good to be here, and thank you, Brother Jack. Thank you, Brother Willis, for arranging all of that. Let me say my name in Russian in a perfect way, how we say it in Russia. My name is Fyodor Baranyuk, and I'm from the city of Moscow. And we just talked just a while ago why people call it Moscow. I don't know, because it's Moskva. In my explanation, why people use and say Moscow, probably someone from Texas, like cowboy, named it Moscow. That's where it's Moscow. I don't know. But this is Moskva. I lived all my life in Moscow. I grew up there. I was born there. I grew up there. And my family is from Moscow. And I met my wife in Moscow. So I go to Central Moscow Baptist Church. So all my life connects to that city of Moscow. I feel so unworthy and so... I mean, thank you for the wonderful introduction, but I think you have to look closer to me before you say these wonderful words about me. But thank you, Brother Willis. I would like to share with you a few things that is in my heart, and I might just pray that the Lord will touch you, because I am just an ordinary man. I am just nothing special about me, just only what is special that I'm a Christian. I guess that's the only speciality that I have, because I belong to my Lord Jesus Christ, and He is my Lord, and I just want to praise Him this evening. I would like to tell you a little bit more about myself. We came to the United States in 1995. We came to Jacksonville, Texas, which is not far from Dallas. It's about 2.5 hours from Dallas, and I went to school there in Jacksonville, Texas. And then in 1999, when I finished the seminary in Jacksonville, we moved to Memphis. That's where we live right now, Memphis, Tennessee. And I attended Mid-America Baptist Seminary, and I'm still a student there. And Lord willing, next month I'll be walking the aisle. It means that I'll be graduating next month, and I'm working on my PhD, and my major field is missions. So I'm working on PhD in missions, and my heart is in missions, and I just love doing missions. So that's what kind of a little bit about myself. We have two sons, my wife and I. We have oldest son is, well, my wife's name is Galina. She's Russian. Her name is Galina. And my oldest son, Vladimir, he is 13. And my youngest son, Vasily, he is 7. And, you know, I'm proud to say about Vasily that he's a Texan. So he's a Texan because he was born in Jacksonville while we were here. So we've got two sons, and they go to public school in Memphis there. And so we live in student housing, and my ministry is connected to the Baptist Union of Russia, and I'll be speaking more about that in a while. But I make trips to Russia, and I connect people with Russia Baptist Union and those that would like to do the ministry in the country of Russia through the Baptist Union. So we do various projects, such as, for example, development of Sunday school, and I'll tell you later about that. So just a short introduction, a little bit about me. And as I said, you know, nothing special. I'm just an ordinary man who loves the Lord. And so I'm like you, you know, I'm going through the same struggles and battles in your life, the same temptations, everything. So I'm just a normal guy, okay? So nothing special about me, but everything is special about our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And tonight, I have prayed, even before we came to this place, I have prayed in my hotel room. And just, you know, what can I say to these people? I said, Lord, I just, you know what shall I say. I just, and my goal tonight, through all this, you know, my talking and sharing, I'm going to read the Word of God. My goal is that after you leave this place, I just pray that you as Americans, would really appreciate what you have and what you are, and just where God puts you. That's my goal. And I would like to start, if we open God's Word in the book of Psalm 150. Psalm is one of my favorite Psalms, 150. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. I'm going to read a few verses. But really, you probably know this Psalm. It says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound, praise Him with harp and lyre, praise Him with timbrel and dancing, praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with resounding. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I really love this psalm because one of the things why I love this psalm is because every verse says about praising. That's what we're all about. You know, we as Christians, we need to praise the Lord. You know, the way we live, the way we talk, the way we do things, the way we think, everything should be about praising the Lord because He is worthy of our praise. And that's what we need to do. Let's just talk for a moment about praise. Just think. Think about praise. And my question, just to help you to think about praise, what do you think? Who usually is engaged in praising the Lord? And, you know, we all go to church and we probably know, we can say, well, those that that help us in public service, you know, they can, you know, we can say that they, those are the ones that praise the Lord, like, let's say, speakers or, you know, singers or something like that, or someone who can... We can ask someone to read, I mean, to pray, and by prayer, that person can praise the Lord. And, you know, through singing, prayer, and as a church, for example, you can be involved in so many different things, how you can praise the Lord. You know, you can help people in your area, like poor people, you can do missions, and by doing all of this stuff, you know, you're going to be praising the Lord. It didn't take us, you know, much time to realize there are several different ways how can we praise the Lord. And I think it would be a mistake to think that you should be involved in one particular act to praise the Lord. Because we're all different, you know. Someone can say, I'm a timid person. I cannot speak in public. I cannot stand in front of the crowd and speak. And, you know, sometimes it takes extra, you know, courage, I guess, to stand in front of the crowd and speak. And not everyone, you know, can do these things. Someone can say, well, I cannot pray in public. I'm sorry, when I speak in public, I just can't find the words, you know, they just disappear. So we're all different, that's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm saying that it could be a mistake to think that you should be engaged in a particular act to praise the Lord. What really matters, and that's what I would like tonight for us to really, truly to think, is that if we have that spirit of praise in our hearts. And before we think about that, let me just kind of to tell you one thing. I understand, you know, my English is, you know, I'm still learning English, okay? Even I have been to your country for 9 years. I'm still, you know, making some grammar mistakes, but it's okay. You know, it's all right. Because, you know, before I came to America, I studied English in college, in school. I studied English in the university. It didn't help much. So before I came to America, I decided to go somewhere where I can learn English. And I just kind of thought and thought and thought. And decided, well, what is the best place in the world to learn English, you know? And of course, you know, I don't think you're going to have you can have an argument with me. Probably the best place to learn English is Great Britain, right? And well, listen, they speak English, okay? And I just want to tell you this story so they can feel a little bit comfortable, you know. But in England, they when they speak, they pronounce words, okay? They really pronounce all the syllables that the word has. They don't drop the ands, you know. And they just, by the way, when they speak, they open their mouths, you know. That's the way I like that. So I went to England, and I studied there for 6 months. And after 6 months, I really studied hard, Jack. I really studied hard, and I just wanted to learn English because I was given only 6 months to do that. At the end of my studies, my teacher came to me and she said, I told everyone, I said, after I finish my studies, I'm going to the United States to study at the seminary, you know, I'm going to study the Bible, and just everything is just great. My teacher came to me, and when she came, if you were there, if you looked at her, you would see that she was kind of worried about something. I said, something wrong? And she said, Phil, are you going to the States? I said, yes. What's wrong with the States? I mean, I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to be a seminary student. I mean, it's like, what? And then she said, no, nothing wrong about, you know, studying at the seminary. It's just great that you'll be able to study the Bible. But Fyodor, let me ask you, after you studied in the States, please, please come back to England and study again English. And she was very serious. I did not understand what she was talking about until I, 6 months later, ended up in Texas, East Texas, you know, Jacksonville. And that's when I understood that I'm in trouble now, okay? And you really don't understand how you, in this country, how much you use slang. Until you meet someone from the foreign country, when you speak to that person, just everything just goes above the head, you know, just like, what in the world they're talking about? And I can give you some examples, but I probably, well, we're not in the church, and I guess, again, I can do it. Sometimes when you meet me in the morning and you say, how are you, Fyodor? I can say, I'm fine. But when you answer to me and say, and I ask you, how are you? You say, hunky-dory, you know. You can't translate it, and, you know, there's no way to... You know, what is hunky-dory? I mean, what's this like? You know, I haven't kept some track in writing those things down, and I just, you know, it's just no way. So, that's what, you know. But anyway, the wonderful thing is that our Lord Jesus, you know, He understands any language. We can speak to Him in English, we can speak to Him in Russian, and He understands all the languages. And that's what we can praise Him in different languages, and that's what our God is. You know, we're talking tonight about praise. And as I said before you leave, I would like that you really would appreciate, you know, how the Lord has blessed you with in just about your life. You know, speaking of praise, we normally think about praise that should we be engaged in praising the Lord only Wednesday and Sunday. You know, is it enough? The Bible says that we need to praise God continually, you know, all the time. And actually, that's our life should be praise to Him. You know, the way we do, the way we speak, the way we think, everything should be about praising the Lord. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we need to think about ourselves. Are we good testimony to others that are around us? Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we are not up to, you know, God's principles that He speaks about in His Word. And what is wonderful about our Lord, that we always can come to Him and we can confess. And we can say, Lord, I was not a good testimony. I was not good in that and that. And God can forgive us and He can move on. Let's grow. And the Lord helps us. You know, tonight, as we speak about praise, I would like to say also, you know, when I was about 10 years old, I came to my mom and I said, Mama, when we go to church, and my church was Central Moscow Baptist Church back then, we, as a family, we go together, but my dad never goes with us. And I had no idea why my dad didn't go with us. And that's why I came to Mother and I said, Mother, can you explain to me? And she said, sure, son, I can. And she said, well, she was kind of hesitated to answer. But then she said, okay, I'll explain to you. And she said, son, every time when we go to church on Sunday morning, your dad goes to a different church. And I said, where was the church? And she said, it was underground church. She said, your father is an underground preacher. And he goes to the church every Sunday. That's where he preaches. And I had no clue. I had no idea what underground church was. So I came to my dad later on. I said, Daddy, can you take me to that church? Because I would like to see, you know, what is that? And again, you know, I didn't understand what was going on in my country back then. So my dad took me to that church. And when we came, it was a village. So it was about 2 hours from the city of Moscow by train. And when we came to that village, just a normal house, we came in, and as much like, you know, this setting, they put chairs, and across the chairs they put some extra woods so they can make pews. And in the living room, my dad preached, and, you know, they sang, but very quietly. And when I looked around, and after service I came to my dad, and I said, Daddy, when you preached, I looked around, and just kind of look at people, and I was just shocked, because people were in tears, they were crying. And I didn't understand why. I felt uncomfortable seeing people, you know, crying. And he said, son, after I asked him about why they were crying, I asked him, and he said, son, first of all, by tears, they're praising the Lord. And I will never forget, you know, what my dad told me. By tears, you know, they're praising the Lord. You know, sometimes when I think about praise, of course it is easy to praise the Lord when everything is fine, when, you know, when our friends are with us, when, you know, we've got health, we've got wealth, everything is great, and, you know, we nothing to worry about, you know, sun is shining like in Texas, you know, just everything is just great, and we can praise the Lord. But can we really praise God when it's raining? You know, can we praise God when our health is going down? Can we praise God when circumstances are so difficult for us to live? That's when we are exact. That's when we are squeezed. You know, that's when we really are being tested. You know, can we praise the Lord in those kind of circumstances? Can we really praise God? Because God didn't promise us in His Word that He is going to eliminate difficulties in our life. No, but the Bible commands us in Psalm 150. It says, "Praise God, praise God." And it says, you know, doesn't give us any. Praise God only when everything is great around you, but praise the Lord in all the time, all the time. And so our people, you know, he said, my dad said, you know, they are praising God by tears. And he said, son, these people are praying that God would give us as Russians better time when you can praise the Lord without fear that you can be put in prison just because you're a Christian. And again, he explained to me, and I didn't understand back then, but then he explained to me, my dad did, you know, what was going on in our country, about persecution, about people being arrested just because they were Christians, just because they wanted to keep Bibles at homes and all of this stuff. And that's when I began realizing what was going on in my country. In that time, the government of Russia allowed us to have only one Baptist church, one church in the city of Moscow, and they put everyone there so then they can monitor our activity. They can control what we as Christians do. And if foreigners would come or guests from the foreign countries, the government would kind of point to that church and they would go there and they would say, listen, nothing wrong with socialism, nothing wrong with communism. People have freedoms, you know, they can worship God. Look, and it was, you know, we had a big, large church. We have about 5,000 members and everything was just packed in that building. And, you know, we praised God there. We had the worship services. But at the same time, my dad explained to me that there were so many other, what we call underground churches or unregistered churches, that you could not register them with the government, and people had to meet in secret. You know, all over the country we had those small groups, we call, of course, churches, where people worshiped God. And my dad was a preacher in one of those churches. And it was just wonderful to visit that church. It was just great to see people, how they worshiped God there, you know, under those circumstances when they were really facing that persecution. And once I asked my dad about, you know, how he was persecuted when he was younger. And my dad doesn't like to speak much about that. He is kind of a reserved person, and he... When he was a little younger, he was arrested four times, and then on the fourth time when they arrested him, they sent him to a military camp where he spent about 3 years. For what reason? Well, he was a Christian and he wanted to start a church in one of the regions of Russia, and they arrested him, you know, on the fourth time they tired of him and they just sent him to a military camp. My wife's grandfather, once we visited with my grandma and asked her about my mom-in-law, and ask about her grandfather, which is my wife's mother. And she said when she was also little, they came to their home and found some Bibles in their home, and they arrested her father. And so she's my wife's grandfather. I'm not trying to get you lost, but, you know, I know. So, but anyway, he spent about 5 years in prison. And again, what was the reason? Well, they had Bibles in their homes. And for 5 years, the family couldn't communicate with him. They no correspondence. They weren't allowed to do that. And, you know, story after story, you meet our people in Russia, and they, you know, almost every Christian family was affected, you know, by persecution. It was our setting. But my main point is that people there, even in spite of persecution, they were praising the Lord. And, you know, today, I know if everything is fine around us, you know, we're praising the Lord. But tomorrow, if something is not like we planned, can we praise the Lord? That's when we really going through the test, when God really... kind of checking our hearts, can we praise God when something is not like what we planned? So, and again, if you have that spirit of praise in your heart, it will manifest, it will not be quiet there. You can't silence the spirit, it will come out. It will come out. I remember I was 15, and I came once to my dad, and I said, Daddy, when you preach at the church, you always say that people need to, you know, they have to accept Christ by faith, and they have to come and repent in their sins. And I said, Daddy, I don't feel like that. I was a preacher kid, and everybody looked at us as, you know, we have to be perfect, standards, high standards. And I tried to be perfect, and I think I was, in my opinion. You know, I came to my dad, I said, Daddy, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't use bad language, you know, I think I'm okay. Why I have to ask God to forgive me? What for? And you see, I went to the church every Sunday, I read my Bible, I prayed. You know, I was a good kid, I thought. And I said, Daddy, what for I can ask God to forgive me? Because, look, I'm better than anybody else, you know, than my friends. And you see, that's wrong, because you can come to church, you can pray, you can read your Bible, but you still can be lost because you've never made this decision to reconcile your personal relationship with the Lord. And once, after evening service, I was running home because I couldn't, something was inside of me that really disturbed me. I came home and I got on my knees. I will never forget that evening, and I gave my heart to Christ. I was 15 years old, and so I'm a new creature since then, because the Lord lives in my heart. And, you know, after I got saved when I was 15, I guess using American expression, you know, I surrendered to preach. And I just wanted to burn this world with preaching, just to let everyone know about Jesus. And I was baptized when I was 18. And back then, our churches had a practice not to baptize right away someone who accepted Christ, and because they didn't want to have strangers in the churches. They didn't want to have spies in the churches. So they said, okay, if you come to the pastor and say, Brother Pastor, I would like to be baptized. And you know, they were going to say, okay, we'll watch you. And they would watch you for a year, for 5 years in some places. For 5 years, you have to wait before you was baptized. I waited for 1 year, and then they baptized me at San Tomasco Baptist Church. And it was just a joy for me to become a part of the family of God, to become a part of the local church, local congregation, to serve the Lord there. I'll never forget, right after that, I had been already in college. And once, while in college, during the class, my teacher asked me to stand up. I stood up. She said, come forward. So I came forward in front of the class. There were about 30, 35 students. And she looked at me and she said, Fyodor, are you a Christian? I looked at the class. You know, it was the first time when I was publicly asked if I was a Christian. And I said, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a Christian. She said, you Baptist? And she kind of made this disgusting face. Baptist? It's like, you know. I said, yes, I'm from the Baptist family. I'm, you know, my parents are Baptists. I'm a Baptist. And she looked at me. She made two steps away from me. She looked and she said, she pointed my finger and she said, look at him. He's a Christian. You know, he's a Christian. He's a Baptist. The way she said, you know, made people laugh in the class. And then in one voice, all my class began saying, Christian, Baptist, Christian, Baptist, Christian, Baptist, until the whole class, entire class was saying in one, you know, in one voice, Christian, Baptist. And I was standing there, you know, I can tell now about those things, but listen, back then, I was ready to cry. I couldn't stand it, because in that class, my friends were mocking me. You know, they were laughing at me, and it was just so hard. I will never forget that moment. And of course, after that event, I lost some of my friends in that class. But listen, Christians, I never lost my best friend. You know, his name is Jesus. You know, Jesus sometimes allows us to go through these kind of things you know, just to check, can we praise him after that or through that, through this stuff. And I just praise the Lord that he allowed me to go through all of this. So then, I really can compare times, what it used to be in our country, what it is right now. When I went to the military service and I finished the college. I got my degree in electronics, and then I went to the military. And the first day when we came to the military base, and by the way, military base, it was a missile base somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Russia. Let me put it this way. You're taping, right? So, but anyway, in that base, you know, those missiles, of course, you don't have to guess hard to whom those missiles were pointed to, you know, let's say in this way. But the very first day when we were there, we were standing in two lines, about 90 people from the city of Moscow who came, the new recruits, you know, new soldiers, when we came, and they questioned us about different stuff, you know, what was your family life, what, you know, what, who you are, and who, you know, all of this stuff. And then the last question was, are any Christians here? And I was standing in that line, kind of looking around, trying to, kind of hoping that someone would raise their hand, and that person would say, I'm a Christian. And I would say, yes, we are Christians, you know, we're together, you know, we are Christians, but nobody raised the hand. I prayed silently, I said, Lord, help me. You raised my hand, and I said, yes, I'm a Christian. And after I said I'm a Christian, people who were closer to me, of course, they broke that line, and they just turned to me. And then it really was weird, because they began touching me, you know, just, you know, they were just touching me. They were looking at my face, and they were saying, let me look at him, let me touch him. And I realized those folks had never seen a Christian in their life. You know, they couldn't believe they're seeing a live Christian or something like that. It was so weird. And the first night, I remember I realized the very first night when I woke up, because my bed was shaking. I opened my eyes, and then I saw about, you know, a bunch of guys standing in front of my bed, looking at me, staring at me while I was sleeping. And they were saying, just, you know, get up, we don't talk to you. And they were so unfriendly. It was the first night after that first event. And I got up, I sat on the edge of my bed, and I prayed, Lord, help me. You know, they were so unfriendly. They used language that we as Christians normally don't use. And they were like, you know, tell us who you are. Tell us, you know, you said that you're a Christian. What is? And do you sacrifice children? All this kind of stuff, you know. And, I sat on the edge and on the bed. I said, Lord, help me. And I began talking to them about my Lord. I told them, you know, who I was and why I was a Christian. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you believe in miracles, but I believe that night was a miracle, because God calmed them down. I mean, it was a miracle. After, you know, they were so angry, but then they just, you know, calmness. And the whole night, I was able to share my faith with them. I think it was a so sweet moment in my life when I was able to share with them, in a very simple terms, who I was and why I believed in Christ. At least I believe the way they asked the questions after that, I believe some of those young men are going to be with us in heaven, because I believe some of them accepted Christ. I presented the gospel to them. It was just, it's just like when you go through the test that God, you know, sometimes wants to check you. After you pass the test, it's just a blessing. God just pulled blessing. I believe that's a blessing that I experienced, that God said, I am with you. You know, I promise to be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, because I am the Lord. I'm still on that throne. I'm still in control. Don't worry. And it was just the sweetest moment in my life. And next morning, well, I'm not going to tell you every morning what happened, every day what happened in my military life, okay? But that next morning, I was called by, let me put it this way, we had a special force in the military, inside of the military base. It's like a secret service, you know, inside. You know, you may use some different terms, but I... Again, you're going to be in trouble. Just forget it. Just quit preaching, quit saying about God. Just forget it. Understood? Yes, sir, understood. You know, you're going to be in trouble if you're going to do that. And you know, if you're a Christian, I wonder, how can we be silent? You know, if we know the way to heaven, if we know about hope that we all have, how we can be silent? How we can not to tell people about Jesus Christ? How can we be so so comforted, so content, so satisfied when we see on the street people walking without knowing Jesus Christ? I don't think we can be quiet. I don't think we can be satisfied in this sense, because we must preach the gospel. We must tell about Jesus Christ. And of course I preached, and of course I told people about Jesus Christ. Of course many times I was in trouble. But, you know, I praise my Lord for those days, because, yes, I was alone in that military base. I couldn't find any Christian, and there was about several thousand people there, more than 10,000 people. And I couldn't find any Christian friend to whom I can pray with, to whom I had, you know, we just can study the Bible, or, you know, at least to talk about the Lord. It was difficult. It was. You know, right now I can stand and tell you about all this stuff, but listen, back then it wasn't easy. It was not. It was not. For example, even today, you know, I can look around. Well, I'm out of time. Shall I
keep going?
It's dangerous, brother. Even tonight, when we came, some of you brought Bibles. And you probably didn't even think about not to have the Bible at home. Normally, you know where your Bible is at home. And it's time to go to church, or it's time to go to Bible study, and you pick it up, and you probably know it's on the shelf. And if you're not careful, you know, we just take it from the shelf, and we just look at, man, it gets dusty, you know. Well, when you don't use it, it gets dusty, right? And you just take your Bible, you go to, you know, to the church. You don't even think about not having a Bible at home. We may have several at home right now. You know, I don't know how many, 10, 20 Bibles at home. When I was in the military service... Well, let me go back to my family. We did have a Bible at home when I was a child, and I will never forget those moments when my dad would read the Bible at night, and then my mom would read the Bible. You know, we had only one book. And then my brother would read the Bible, and then it was my turn. I had to wait, standing in line, to wait until everybody finishes their reading, and then my time to read the Bible. And we were so blessed because we had the Bible at home. It was a family Bible, just only one book. When I was in the military, I wanted to have a Bible so the Lord can speak to me, so then I can draw this strength, you know, from the living Word. You know, it's like a food for us, for our souls. If we don't read it, we get sick. Sometimes we wonder why we can't fight temptation, why we can't do so and so. Well, ask yourself, when was the last time when we read the Bible? Are you in the Word? Are you a student of the Word? So I wanted to have a Bible when I was in the military. I prayed and prayed, Lord, send me one. You couldn't just like go to a store and buy it, because we didn't have a Christian stores. Oh, by the way, I have been in your country for 9 years, and one of my favorite things to do is to go to your Christian stores. Well, if you ask what my wife likes to do, she likes to go to, you know, to the malls. You know, that's where all her money is. You know, mall. Let's go to the mall. You know, we in Memphis, we have nice malls there. So, but I like to go to the Christian stores. And when you go to the Christian store, and especially, you know where the section is, the Bible. When you come there, man, just something happens when you come to the Christian store. You just come and you go to the section with the Bible, and you just try to look to the shelves. Immediately, manager comes out. You know, and he said, "How can I help you?" And you just name it. You just tell him, "Okay, Mr. Manager, I would like to have," and you just name it. "Okay, I would like to have nice leather, you know, cover, because I like feel it, you know, I like to feel it, okay? And I'd like to have," and you just name the version of the Bible. And you would tell him, "I like to have Jesus' words in red. Just put them in red so I can really focus on that. In the back of the Bible, I would like to have maybe a dictionary or concordance or something." And you just name it, and I'll give it to you. Why? Plentiness. You don't even think about not having a Bible, not even finding the Bible. It's just country of plentiness. And I just love to go to those sections just to see different size of the Bibles, different shape, different, you know, prints, large, small. I mean, just wonderful. And I didn't have a Bible when I was in the military service. And I prayed, "Lord, help me to find Bible, because I need that." I wrote a letter to my brother Alex, and what I did, you know, I said, "Alex, if you can, please find a small print Bible, just send it to me, because I need the one." And when I wrote the letter, sent it to my brother, let me put it this way, it was smuggled to me, okay, the box, I was going to tell you how, but the box came, when I opened it up, I realized in the bottom of that box, I found something. And when I found, you know, when I opened it up, I realized it was, this thing was there. And I remember in my letter, I asked my brother to put a zip, you know, on there. And I found this, you know, you can unzip it. And this is New Testament and Book of Psalms. And I realized it was New Testament and Book of Psalms. And when I opened it, you know, I just couldn't believe. Now I've got this small New Testament that I can read. And, you know, you could realize, because this cover is very, it's artificial. I asked my brother if he would find one to put this cover so that it can be protected, so you could not destroy that. And literally, when I got this New Testament, the first thing that I did, I found a quiet place where nobody could see me, and I took this little small New Testament, I just placed it on my, you know, like that, and I opened it. And literally, I washed it by tears. I just cried over it, because it was so precious to me. I said, "Lord, this is your word. And now you can talk to me. You can talk to me." And I said, "Lord, I don't want these things to be found out." And I said, "Lord, please help me to find a proper place where I can keep it, and no one can find your word." Because I just couldn't, you know, put it in my pocket. It could be confiscated. And my Lord answered my prayers, and for 2 years I kept this New Testament in my boot. You know, I just put it down there, my boot. You know, I've got cowboy boots. Come on, I lived 4 years in Texas. You know. It was down here, and of course it was very uncomfortable, you know, to have it every day with you. You know, I had to run with that. I had to swim with this little thing. You know, you have a little stone in your shoe, and you do everything possible to get rid of that. But can you believe, I mean, blisters and everything, but it was so sweet, you know, there were so sweet moments when I wanted to read the Bible. I had to find a quiet place, no one can see me. I would take my shoe off, you know, I would just shake it, it would fall down, and I would open it, and then my Lord would speak to me through His Word. You know, this is treasure to me, because it means something to me. And don't forget what we're talking about tonight. You know, we're talking about praise. Or we can speak about so, you know, think so highly. But when was last time when you really were on your knees praising the Lord that you have His Word in your own language? You know, we sometimes take things for granted. You know, this country of plentiness, you can name it, whatever version you want to use, and they'll give it to you. Can you imagine there are so many different nations around the world that do not have the Word of God in their own language, but yet we take it for granted. You know, how many Bibles we have? I'm not asking you when last time you really washed your Bibles with your tears. No, that's not the point. But my point is, really, when you praise the Lord for this Bible that you have in your hands, that you can open and you can read it. And I want to finish the whole story, because if I don't tell you the whole story, you know, I just want to tell you how great our God is, you know, because I would like to praise Him for what He has done, you know, in my life. And if I don't tell you this story, you probably wouldn't understand. By the way, when I shared this testimony in one of the vacation Bible schools, I forgot where, and there was a kid, there were a bunch of kids, and they raised their hand. Can we ask you a question? One boy said. I said, yes, you can ask a question. And after I shared this book, you know, this book being in the boot, and he said, Brother Fyodor, let me ask you a question. Did it smell? Yes, of course it did, you know. Okay. So, but anyway, just for you, kind of. But anyway, when you open it up, of course it was destroyed, you know. I had to swim with that under snow. But you can see the writing here. And back then I couldn't read the English, but later I could realize it is a dress, because it says USA and it says CA, which is California. And so when I came to the States in 1995, one of my prayer was, Lord, help me to find that person. Because, you know, for some reason it has a dress, that person. And I remember I shared this testimony in one of the churches, and the pastor of the church, he asked me to copy these things. I don't know why. And he copied this first page. He said, let me see if I can find this person. I said, you could even read that. And he said, let me do it. And I had forgotten about what he did, that he copied this first page. And about a few weeks later, after after I spoke at the church, somebody called me. And he said, Fyodor? I said, yes. He said, my name is Brent. Well, I said, well, my name is Fyodor. And he said, I'm from California. I said, well, I'm from Texas. I live in Texas. And, you know, kind of conversation didn't go. He said, well, let me explain to you, Fyodor, what I'm into. He said, you kept my New Testament in your boot while you were in the military service. And I said, how come? And, he told me this story. His name was Brent. And he told me about that. He went to Russia back in those late 80s, and when 87, when he came to Russia as a tourist. And when he came, he was able to smuggle three of those New Testaments. You know, customs didn't find in his luggage, and he was able to smuggle three of those. Two of those he gave away. He had given away, and he had one left. And guess when he was visiting Central Moscow Baptist Church on his way back to the airport one Sunday, he said he came to the church, and there was, because it was so crowded, which is like fish in the can, and he had this in hand, and he just gave it to someone, not even realizing, not even seeing the face of the person whom he had given to. And guess what? Who was that person? It was my brother. And little did he know that miles and miles away from Moscow, I was standing back there on my knees, and I was talking to Almighty God to provide me a New Testament. So God sent Brent to Russia as a tourist, you know, to look all this St. Petersburg and all this other stuff. But he brought three Bibles with him. And my brother happened to be, you say it's an accident? No, it's not an accident. My brother was right in the right time, in the right place, and Brent gave this Bible to him. That's how it was smuggled to me. And when Brent told me this kind of story, man, we were several hours on the phone. We cried, you know, we just praised the Lord. It was just so sweet to share these kind of moments. You know, several hours. I didn't care. You know, I mean, it was his long distance anyway, you know. But Brent invited me to come to his church. And my wife and I and my kid, you know, our children, we flew to California. And we shared these things at his church. And you're talking about praise service. You know, when we shared what the Lord had done, you know, that church wanted to take a roof off so all the glory would go to God. And it was just so wonderful what God is doing. And I would like to share you one more story, and I probably have to finish, you know, because in it says desert, you know, desert here. So, but, you know, speaking of Bibles, and why I'm telling all these stories, again, keep in mind, we're talking about praise. And when we really praise God for those little things that sometimes we even don't think, we take them for granted. And even Bibles. Once I received a phone call from the country of Poland, and someone on the other side said, Fyodor, here in my home we have so many Bibles. They're in Russian. Just come to us, pick them up, bring them to Russia, give it to your people. You know, it sounds so simple, you know, just go to Poland, just pick it up, just, I mean, just, yeah, why not? But no one, I mean, he couldn't realize back then, probably he did, I would guess, it was illegal to bring Bibles to Russia. So my brother and I, we took a train, we came to Poland. Well, I told my wife that we had been married back then already. I told my wife that I'm going to visit my friend in Poland. I didn't tell her about the Bible part. That's what you call partly true. You know, you don't believe just everything, just, you know, just something, you know, which is not lie. You just tell that you're going to. And we came, we saw these boxes of the Bibles, boxes. You know, I was so shocked because I had never seen that many in my life. And we took all these boxes, put them in the train, in the compartment of the train, and we prayed that the Lord would bless. And we began riding that train from the country of Poland, approaching the border of Russia. Of course, we were not that stupid or, you know, realizing it was illegal to do this kind of stuff. And in that compartment, while we were going through Poland, approaching the country of Russia, my brother Alex and I, we were standing on our knees, literally, and we were praying and asking God to do the miracle, to help us to cross the border. There is no way, there was no way to for us to hide all these Bibles. And there were boxes, you know, piled. And we said, Lord, help us to cross the border. We had no idea how, but help us. So when we came to the border, the Russian custom officer came, and he asked our passports, and he asked our declaration forms, all this legal stuff. And, you know, you probably know, Brother Jack, when you go to Russia, you know, they, even to look at them, is, you know, it scares you. You know, it's a special type of people, you know, customs. And, you know, with the machine gun and all this uniforms and men. And he said, guys, you put in your declaration form that you have only 2 pieces of luggage. We said, yes, here is our pieces of luggage, you know, two bags. He said, no, what about those boxes? And he just like that. And we said, this is not a luggage, this is literature. He said, what kind of literature? Show us. Show me. My brother took 2 Bibles. My brother Alex took a Bible for adults and a Bible for children. And he said, this kind of literature we have. And he just gave it to him. And that custom officer, he opened the Bible and he just flipped through the pages and just like that. And he looked at it. And then he looked at us and he said, guys, you're crazy. And he said, I command you, you're under arrest because what you're doing is illegal. And he said, I command you, you're under arrest. Just follow me. And when he said that, all my life immediately went one second. You know, I just imagine my wife crying and just, I mean, it was just horrible. I was really scared. But when he said about you're under arrest, you know, my brother took those 2 Bibles and he said, man, let me talk to you. He said, yes. He said, do you have children? And that man said, yes, I have children. But why? He said, this one Bible is for your children and they need it. And another Bible is for you. Take it. You know, while we were going through the country of Poland, approaching Russia, my brother and I were standing on our knees and were talking to Almighty God, the one who created this universe, to make a miracle, to help us to cross the border. And let me ask you a question. What do you think? Did God do the miracle in that time? Listen, don't have any doubts. Of course he did. When my brother gave him those 2 Bibles, and here, this is for you, that man said, for me? My brother said, yes, for you, free, take them. And he unbuttoned his coat, and he put those 2 Bibles inside of his coat, one side and another side. He buttoned back, and he said, listen, guys, now close the door in your compartment, and until you reach Moscow, just don't open anybody, just be quiet. And he just left. Well, my brother and I, we tried to be quiet, but we couldn't. You know, we couldn't. We just praised the Lord for what he did. And again, it's not us. It's again, nothing special about us, nothing special about me, but everything is just Christ, everything him. That's what he did. We came home, we gave those Bibles to our pastor, and they distributed and so forth. I wish I can have more time to tell you some more how my brother and I, we once were arrested after, you know, another trip to smuggle the Bible from Poland, Bibles, and how God miraculously saved us from that. You know, how God performed miracle even in the police station while they were holding Alex there. But, you know, maybe another time. But let me tell you, I want to quit, you know, saying that, you know, today, as we look at our lives, as I said, my point is, do we have that spirit of praise in our lives? Do we really praise God, or we just say we do? You know, are we good students of His Word? Do we appreciate His Word? Or do we take it for granted? You know, this country doesn't know much about persecution. And I don't think you need persecution to realize how great God is. But you know what? I believe Christians can be tested by persecution and also by freedom. When freedom came to Russia later on, in 1991, when communism collapsed, in one sense we rejoiced that freedoms came. Now you don't have to hide your Bible and your boot. You know, you can do anything you want. And that's the time. You know, we praise the Lord for freedoms that we have right now. We can do anything we want. We can travel. We can open and start new churches. You can do anything almost what you want. But can we survive freedom? Let me put it this way. Can we survive freedom? And I believe that the United States of America is also going through the test, because sometimes it's not easy to have freedom, you know, to have freedoms, because, well, you know what I'm talking about. You know what's the situation in the country. And I just pray that God will continue to bless us as we serve Him today in our country. You know, as I said, we're rejoicing the freedoms that we have. People in this country take freedoms for granted. And if not careful enough, your freedoms can be taken away. Some of you probably old enough to remember those days when this country was so open to the gospel, when you can take Bible to schools, when you could pray at schools. But now you can't do it any longer. And, you know, the more and more, you know, freedoms like are being taken away from the people. And we as Christians, we need to stand for those freedoms. We need to stand for what God has called us. You know, I just praise the Lord because God is blessing this country, United States of America, through your country, through your people, through what you are doing. You just imagine how many missionaries your country sends. You just imagine how many people come to know Christ through the efforts of missionaries that were sent by this country or by support of this country. And that's why I believe God is still blessing this country. God is blessing your generosity. I mean, just find any other people around the world who are so generous. And people immediately would point to Americans. That's, you know, God blesses you and you answer those blessings. And your country, I know your Christian people had been praying for our country of Russia. And listen, I am a living evidence. I'm an answer of your prayers. Because I'm living in this time when my country is open. When communism collapsed, when our country began, you know, receiving those freedoms and gospel now can be preached. And groups go there all the time, constantly. You know, I admire those like Brother Jack and those that will be going to Russia, because you can't even imagine what does it mean. What does it mean to me when I see that you leave your comfort zone, you leave United States, and you go to Kursk, you go to Bryansk, you go to other places, Siberia, and you go to my country and present the gospel to my people. I can't even imagine. I can't even express enough what does it mean to me when I see you sacrificing your time, your money, everything what you have, and you go to that country and you preach the gospel. I just praise God for those people that God is blessing. And I just pray that God will continue to bless you. So we live in different times. And I just praise the Lord for all these times. And I work, as I said, for the Russian Baptist Union. I make trips back and forth to Russia. And basically what I do, I just develop different kind of ministries. I try to connect people. I try to connect with the Baptist Union and with some other evangelical groups in Russia. And we just plant new churches. We're involved in so many different projects. For example, people take for granted Sunday schools. I was raised in Sunday school as well, but it was Sunday school for children. When I came to the United States, immediately the pastor of the church, First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Texas, they enrolled us in Sunday school, me and my wife. And I was not happy because they enrolled me in Sunday school. I said, listen, I'm not a child, I'm an adult, plus I'm a seminary student. Come on, why are you enrolling me in Sunday school? In school, I was offended. And I had no idea there was a Sunday school for adults that existed. And I came to Sunday school, I was sitting in the back, in the very back pew, I couldn't even open the book. I didn't want to open the book. But then that's when God began talking to us. And one night, my wife and I were sitting and praying. And then, we said, Galina, I think that's what God wants us to do. And we began developing all age group Sunday school or Bible studies for Russian people. And to make a long story short, right now we are printing the ninth quarter of the Sunday school material for all age groups. And yes, we are translating it into from English into Russian. But my vision to create our own literature, and I have already have writers so that are those that write material for, you know, for Russians in Russian language, because it takes time, you know, as you know, to translate those hunky dories and some other stuff, and you know. But I'm not saying that your material is good or bad, but we need our own Russian material written by Russians, you know, for Russians. I'm developing this ministry. We've got radio ministry going, and as I said, planting new churches and all this kind of stuff. And I'm so blessed that the Lord has blessed me tremendously in this ministry. And I'm looking forward to the next month when I'll be graduating from the seminary. And, you know, I put five years of my life in getting this degree. And I have, you know, as I said, I'm going to have PhD in missions. And missions is my heart. And I just praise God that He allowed me to come to your country and to study. One more last thing. And we'll be dismissed. I'll just turn it over to Brother Willis. You know, speaking of being faithful to the Lord, and speaking of persecution, I know this country, and I'm not saying you need to. There was a family in the country of the Ukraine, in the country of Ukraine, that preacher's family, once they heard somebody knocked on their door. And when they opened the door, they immediately realized there was a policeman standing outside. And they asked him if he was a preacher. He said, yes. Do you have Christian literature at your home? So they came in and they searched their apartment and they found some Christian literature. And they, after they found it, they took a man of the house outside. And when they took him outside, they beat, you know, he was beaten. He really humiliated him. And I know this man. And after that, after they have done these things with him, one police took a gun. And he pointed his gun right here between his eyes. And he said, man, you have only 2 minutes to decide to deny God. And, you know, he was standing on his knees. And after those 2 minutes were gone, they asked him, man, what is your decision? And he said, I can't deny God. There is no way that I can deny God. And the policeman said, okay. He went back to his home. He took his wife and two of his children outside just to see what was going on. And when his wife came outside and his, you know, his children, they saw their daddy standing on the knees, and I mean, they just began crying, and wife began screaming. That brother, he is a huge physically, but he couldn't help, but he began crying. You know, sometimes for a man it's so difficult to cry in front of his wife, and he wanted to keep his tears, but he couldn't. He began crying because of those helpless situation. And that policeman said, man, look at in the eyes of your wife. Look in the eyes of your children. And you've got only one more minute to decide to deny God. Think about that. And after that minute was gone, they looked at him and policeman said, man, what is your decision? And that brother looked at his persecutor and he said, I will never, never deny my God. Just expecting a bullet to go through his head right away. And after he said these words, the policeman got so confused. He looked at this Christian brother and he said, man, because you are so stubborn, we let you leave. And they just left. And now, two missionaries out of that family are spreading the gospel in the country of Ukraine. You know, we don't know much about persecution. And as I said, we don't need persecution to realize how great our God is. We're talking tonight about very simple things. We're talking about praising the Lord. And when was last time when we really praised Him for what He has done for us? First sending His Son Jesus for us to die on that cross. That we, even today, we can have this Bible in our hands. That we can, do we value that? Do we praise God for that? And that was my point. I just want you, as American people, to really realize how blessed you are. You just go around the world and you'll see that none of those countries that you visit probably are so blessed as you have been blessed. But yet we sometimes take things for granted. And my prayer that we, as Christians, that we will be faithful to the Lord in our walking, in our doing, in our thinking, in everything what you do, So then our walk and our life will be praise to our Lord Jesus. Pray with us.